The Lord is good and he is faithful. We're going to read together Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You can be seated tonight. I love the Psalms. They speak to me. I can relate to them on many occasions. I love the Bible plan that I do every year, the one-year Bible. I like it. It does the old and the new, and it does the Psalms and the Proverbs every single day. And it just feels like it just kind of keeps things in check. But these Holy Spirit-inspired Psalms, they're prayers and they're praises that were written to express the deep feelings and emotions of the human heart as it relates to God. They're deep. There's a lot of inflections, a lot of emotions expressed from despair all the way to joy, from anxiety and humiliation to discouragement, prayers to God that will often turn into praise, into celebration. Other times it'll turn into pleas or cries for help, as the psalmist will cry out. When you read through these 150 psalms, you find that some are prayers that express trust and love and adoration, and they're a plea to draw closer to God. And then others were written as songs to express praise and thanksgiving, and a way of celebrating the goodness of God. The thing I love about the Psalms is they're very instructive on how to worship. You know, we tend to worship God often according to our personality, our emotions, but when you get into the Psalms, it instructs us all how to worship God. So I love the Psalms. There are some that point to the prophecy of the Messiah. But Psalms 1 has been speaking to me in a fresh way in the day we live to stay rooted in Christ and steadfast in the Word. When you begin to read this first Psalm, it contrasts two different types of people. Both groups have a very distinct set of principles of in relation to God. The first group are a people that love God and obey what his word says. They separate themselves from worldly mindsets and behaviors that are contrary to biblical principles and actions that are offensive to God. You know, we can offend God. We can grieve him. We can grieve Holy Spirit. We can offend him. And he's talking about that, this group that they're referred to. They love God and they're concerned about walking in the ways of God. And they're referred to as the righteous. They've been made justified in Christ through the shed blood of Jesus. And their desire and delight is in serving the Lord. The second group are those who follow the beliefs and the behaviors of the world. They've conformed to the pattern of this age and they defy and reject God's word in their carnal lifestyle. They're referred to as the wicked or the ungodly. R.C. Sproul said, the difference between the blessed person and the ungodly person is that the blessed person walks according to the course of heaven and not according to the course of this world. So I love the way that this first chapter, first verse of Psalms starts out. Blessed is the man. How many of you want to walk in blessing? Amen. Blessed is the man. Or we could say, oh, the blessedness of the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, not his duty, not his spiritual sacrifice, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it. The Amplified Bible describes the blessed life as a life that is fortunate, that is spiritually prosperous, and that is favored by God. I want to live that kind of blessed life, don't you? Amen. When you look at blessed in the Greek, it is makaros, and it refers to an inner peace or an inward joy that is unaffected by circumstances. My joy is not changed by what I'm going through. Because the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. So when you look at Psalms 84, 11, and 12, it sums up the blessed life this way. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing, say that with me, good thing. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. How blessed is the man who trusts in you. There's that word again. Blessed, favored of God, fortunate, spiritually prosperous. The blessed life begins the moment that we put our trust in God and we begin to follow him. Now, we don't recognize it typically then, but that's when it begins. Because according to 1 Peter 1 and 3, by his divine power, when we come into relationship with him, when we're reconciled, he gives us everything we need to live a life of godliness through the knowledge of him with the help of the Holy Spirit in us. The blessings of God are then released when we begin to live according to his word. When we begin with intention to walk by faith with our thoughts and our actions, according to 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we live in such a way that whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, how do we do it? All to the what? Glory of God. It is no longer I that lives, but the life I now live, I live by faith in the one who died for me, and it's Christ now that lives in me. So the blessings of God are not imparted because we come to church. That's good. Coming to church is good. Or because we're a member. Or even because we are involved on a surface level. His blessings are bestowed through obedience to his word. So we can't get frustrated at God if we're not prospering spiritually, when we have his word and his commands and we know what to do and we don't do them, we tie his hands. Blessed is the one that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or sit in the seat of the scornful, but it's the one that what? Delights in the law of the Lord. Luke 11, 28, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Psalms 1, 12 and 1 says, praise the Lord. One translation says, hallelujah. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. When you move then into Psalms 1 and 2, we find that the righteous life finds that delighting in God, when you look here, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates how often? Day and night. It's not a Sunday thing or a Wednesday thing or when I feel like I need God. It's 24/7. There comes a point in my life when I'm not one thing here and another thing there. God's not in the room, so I'll watch this and I'll say this. There comes a point in our life as children of God, if we're going to walk in the blessing of God, that there's no difference between the sacred and the secular. I'm not one thing here and another thing there. The righteous person is not one who is perfect. Is there anyone in here that's perfect? So when he refers to the righteous, he's not referring to a perfect people that have arrived. He's referring to people that are blood-bought, that are saved, that are reconciled to him, that are putting him first. They're ordinary people like you and I who are learning day by day by day the delight of a single hour spent in the presence of God, meditating on his word. To meditate means to ponder. It means to think about it carefully and consider its meaning. It means to let it ruminate until it resonates deep in our hearts and in our minds, until it begins to transform our thinking and we begin to consider, how can I apply this to my life? Meditating is not just, well, I'm reading the Bible through and we read it and it's like, I don't know what I read. And that happens often because our minds will go places. But there comes a time when we need to stop and we need to consider what the Word of God is saying. We need to stop and we need to meditate on it and let it ruminate in us until it resonates. And we begin to ask ourselves and consider, what is his word saying? What is this passage saying? Is it a promise for me to hold on to? Is it a sin for me to avoid? Is it a practical application that I can apply to relationships with other people? Is it a declaration that I can begin to speak over my life, over my family, over my church, over my nation, because God said it, and it begins to release the kingdom of God into the atmosphere? But we ponder it, we think about it, we ask Holy Spirit, what does this mean? What are you saying in my life? How can I apply it? And the beautiful thing, and I'm sure that some of you are there even now as you're reading things that you didn't notice before, and the Lord is saying, I need you to start acting upon what you know. Lord, I just want you to show me your way. I want you to show me your will. Show me the next step. What are you going to do next month? What are you going to do next year? And he's saying, where I'd like for you to start is with what you know. Get your seed in the ground. Lord, am I going to be able to afford to retire? Am I going to have enough for health care? And is my family going to flourish? And what am I going to do? And he's saying, do what you already know. Get your seed in the ground. Because as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Lord, I need you to bless me. I need you to help me. I need to move forward. I want you to use me in my gifts. And he's saying, but what about that area in your life that you're holding on to with someone and I'm asking you to forgive them? How can I use you in something big over here when I need you to do what I'm already showing you here? So his word will begin to reveal. It's a two-edged sword, and it'll begin to divide the truth from the lie. So we meditate on it day and night so that his blessings can flow in our life, and we can allow him to work in us and use us, and we can know his character. I think more than anything that the word has done in my life, it has helped me to find freedom to worship who God is. Because the more that I read it and the more that I understand who he is and the more I begin to apply what I already know and I begin to worship him the way I already know how, it brings such freedom in my life. His word has helped me to forgive people I didn't want to forgive. His word has helped me to lay down some things I didn't think I could lay down. there's life in his word. Blessed is the one who doesn't tie themselves up with the things of the world, but sets themselves apart and begins to delight in the Lord. We've got to delight once again where we hunger and thirst after righteousness once again, where it's not just, I have to go to church, I need to go to church, it's expected to go to church, I want to go to heaven, so I want to go to church. May there come a day when we come to church because we want to see him with our brothers and sisters. We know we can see him at home wherever we are. But just to lift him up in the house and see the lost saved and see undeniable miracles happen because he's God. Amen. And the more we delight in his word and the more we understand that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's the song in the night, he rides on the wings of the wind, he put every star in the sky and knows him by name, and he knows you. Changes everything. Changes everything. Changes the way we worship. It changes the way we live. It changes the way we talk. It changes the way that we think. His word gives us hope in times of distress. It's given me comfort in times of sorrow. There's a song. I want you to sing it with me. We're going to just do this his way tonight. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Sing it. More. Thank you, Lord. More of his saving fullness see.
More of his love who died for me.
That's what he wants to do tonight. In this room, he wants to reveal himself. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. I love this part. And he will act. Is there anybody in here that God has acted on your behalf when you have trusted him, when it's been hard and it's been difficult, he's shifted things? Not only do we find our minds being transformed when we get in his word and we meditate on it, but there's something deep that happens down in our soul that causes us to hunger and thirst for righteousness and for the things of God. It causes us to love more deeply and not be so judgmental and so frustrated even with other people because, oh, but for the grace of God, go I. I need the Lord. We're living in a time when people need the Lord, and when we fall in love with him and get his word in his word, and we know what it's done for us, it gives us the faith to believe it for other people. Amen. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and have good success. Not only will this word convict us of sin, and we need convicted. We need convicted. But it'll convict us of righteousness. It will plow up the hardened areas of our soul, and it will purify us. This word will expose deception. We have to guard against deception today. We need discernment. Amen. It will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. His word will make us strong and steady as we hide it in our heart. It will keep us from sin. It will revive us. It will restore us. It will recalibrate us, and it will refresh us. Is there anyone that needs a refreshing? Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed or settled in the heavenlies. When you think of what his word does, when we delight in it. And I'm just going to say this to you. I'm going to just push this. This is the perfect law of liberty. When you look into this word with an open heart, it begins to transform you and move you from one level of glory to another. It'll take you from faith to faith. It'll take you from strength to strength. And it'll begin to help you to drown out all the other voices that are loud, that are contrary to the things of God, that are trying to get you to be passive, that are trying to bring shame and condemn you and hold you back and hold you down. Even in the service where we're just so reserved, where there's no faith to pray, and you look in this and you begin to feel your spiritual muscles expanding. It actually gets to the point, Kelly, where you can't sit there even if you wanted to. You don't wait for the song leader to tell you to stand up. It's time to sing. You don't wait for the pastor to say amen. There's something that's brewing inside of you because you're looking into this perfect law of liberty and you're being changed to be like him. You're becoming an imitator of Christ. You want to hide behind the veil now. You don't want to be seen anymore because it's not about you, but it's about him. And you want him to be high and lifted up.
Yes, thank God.
That's what God's doing in the church, because we need a revival and we need it to start with us. We need a move of God. We need God to stir us. We need to make it always about him. Worship needs to be about him. The word needs to be a rhema word. Love needs to be about him. We need to love like he loves. We need to sing like we know he's king.
Amen.
We need to declare it so that it goes forth and it pierces the atmosphere until something breaks forth and the sinner can't sit any longer. Because God's in the house and God's moving. Because that's how powerful his word is. But we get in it and we meditate on it and we let it do something in us. And then we get this vivid word picture of what the blessed life looks like in Psalms 1 and 3. It's a portrait of the one who delights in the law of God. He shall be like a tree planted, unmovable. The winds are coming, the winds are blowing. Everything around is chaos. But the one that's in the word is going to be rooted and grounded in the Lord and still standing when everything else is chaos. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever, say that with me, whatever he does shall prosper. Now, when you look in Jeremiah 17, 5 and 8, it mirrors this passage, but it flips it from the wicked first and the consequences to the blessed. Thus says the Lord. This is the Lord talking. Thus says the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But grab hold right here. Come on now, we're shifting. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river and will not fear when heat comes. And its leaf shall be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit.
Amen.
The blessed life is one that's not exempted from trouble. Job said, man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Anybody ever have trouble?
Yes.
Psalm 34 says the righteous person may have many troubles, many afflictions. But the blessed life is a life of deliverance, because the word says, even through our afflictions, the Lord delivers us out of them all. The blessed life is a life of supernatural, unexplainable, undeniable peace that he gives us, that guards our hearts and our minds when we're walking through some of the strongest storms. I love that scripture, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit in the dry season, in the silent season, in the season of uncertainty, but will continue to yield fruit. Anxiety is a thief of the enemy. It robs our peace and steals our joy. Where there's no joy, there's no strength. Anxiety paralyzes the mind with fear and creates a prison of what if, and it consumes our energy and our time. It's tools that the enemy uses to wear us down and wear us out. If we were honest, we would probably all raise one hand or both about anxiety. Because it's a part of living in this life. I think that's why when you look back through the Psalms, you realize a lot of ups and a lot of downs. There's some high places, but there's some really low places. And I was thinking about those in the Bible. Elijah, he had called fire down from heaven. And now he is very tired and he's very weary, and Jezebel has threatened him. And here's this prophet of God, this warrior, this man of faith that God has used to do mighty miracles. And he's been confronted by the enemy and he is tired, and he runs and he hides. And I don't judge him, because I have ran at times. I've hid at times. Like Jeremiah, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm done. This is my last one. And you lay down and you're laying there, and all of a sudden that word, you're trying to rest and that word is leaping in your belly. And you have to get up. You have to tell, because it's like a fire shut up in your bones. That's what the word will do. But God let Elijah have a season of rest. He even sent an angel to minister to him. And then he got back into the swing of things. There are times when anxiety and trouble is going to come. That does not make you weak. It does not make you inadequate. That does not diminish your call or who you are or how strong you are in the Lord. You are a warrior in him. But we get tired sometimes. David was all over the place. And he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Martha was all upset. Friend of God, serving the Lord. Lord, tell Mary to come and help me. And he said, Mary, Martha, you're anxious about a lot of things. But Mary's chosen the better part. He was teaching her balance. We need balance. I get out of balance sometimes. Paul. I think I was thinking about Paul. And I need to tell you this, because some of you are in the throes of the battle and you're weary. I've been there. I've had to just speak to pastor and say, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. He always does, but there's just times when I'm like, I need some extra. Paul, he said he was buffeted. He was tormented by a messenger of Satan. It was hard. Three times he asked the Lord, deliver me from this, Lord. You can do it. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And God began to strengthen Paul. One of my favorite passages of scripture is in Psalms 40. I relate to David so much when he said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined his ear to me. The only difference is I don't always wait patiently. And he heard my cry and he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Have you ever been in a horrible pit? set my feet upon a rock, established my steps, and he put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and trust in the Lord. I don't like the pit part, but I like the song part. I like the restoration part. I like that when I go through the valley of the shadow of death and the valley of Baca in weeping, that when I come out the other side and I'm steadfast like many of you have been and you are and you're staying in the place you're at right now, that God ministers to you and he helps you. And that's what his word does. It'll carry you through. I'm gonna say that I feel like the church as a whole is being challenged every age. Doesn't matter how long you've served the Lord. There is some shaking going on just because of the world we're living in, for one thing. And the enemy, more than anything, wants to silence the church, wants to get us fearful, wants to get us quiet and subdued and wore out. But I'm here to tell you right now, there is a stirring going on in this house and in your belly, and the word of the Lord is going to bring some fresh revelation to you, and we will not come back Sunday the same and worship the same as we have. You cannot and you will not, because there is revelation from his word coming, and God is doing something different in this hour, and he needs the church to grab a hold of the altar and let the word begin to resonate deep within us. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to ask you to share some scriptures. I want to fill the atmosphere with the word of the Lord. So I want you to begin to think. If you need to pull it up on your phone, open your Bible. I want you to speak it out loud and I want you to speak it confidently and with boldness, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. And I want to charge this atmosphere. That's what I felt the Spirit of God saying tonight. Cindy, it's going to be mutual edification, because for those that will stand up and speak something out of your mouth, it's not only going to do something for you, but it's going to do something for someone else, because his word will not return void. And this is what it says. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, and it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper or succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This is my prayer from Psalms 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. So I'm going to ask you, you have a scripture. I want you just to stand. If two or three stand at once, that's fine. I'll call you. Go ahead, Mary. Let's fill the atmosphere.
Salvation, whom shall I fear? Mm. Is the strength of my life?
Yes.
Shall I be afraid?
Yes.
Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path.
I love that. Love that. Come on, don't wait. Don't tarry. Let's feel it. Let's feel the atmosphere.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound.
I am the head and not the tail. I can't go under for going over. All things are possible through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
Praise the Lord.
2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind.
Amen. Amen.
Faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Praise the Lord.
Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord.
Tim. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 19:7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I have another one.
Okay.
Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Praise the Lord.
Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. I will help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand.
Barb? Oh, okay, okay.
I like John 14:6, and I've gone to it many times, and it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me.
Praise the Lord. I am. Joanna. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Harriet? Okay.
Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Yeah.
And renew that right spirit within me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Declaration. Declaring. Yes. Yes. I want you to be encouraged tonight because the Lord sees where you are. He knows. You can share here. Go ahead, Sue.
He shall not fear evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Trust in the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mark. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Steve? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is restoring tonight. I want you to look to the hills from where your help comes from and know that God sees you right where you are and he's bringing you through and you're not coming out the way you went in. There's going to be some things that are going to let you go and you're going to let go and you're going to come out of the fire looking more like him with a sound that is clear, a heavenly sound where you just open your mouth and give God glory. I want you to stand with me tonight. And there's an old course or song that I just think is fitting for here. It will be up there and y'all help me. If I get too high, sing low, sing under me. I'll come down. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true. Changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts, the ancient words impart.